To the broadest audience in the country. This is Jason Troyer and Joe Scott.
Hi, Jay.
Filling in for Bob Enyart, who is, he's not in jail. He didn't go back to jail. He is performing some fatherhood duties. He is out camping with one of his sons. The Boy Scouts have a camp every year for a week. And so Bob is camping with one of his sons, and we're thrilled that he's doing that.
How neat. That's so much fun. It's something that Zach will never forget.
Yeah, absolutely. And I wanted to talk a little bit about fatherhood today, because Bob is being a good father and taking a break from all the work that he does. And we know the friends of Bob Enyart that have hung around him for years, we know he works harder than anybody ever. So it's good that he takes a week off and relaxes a little bit, spends time with his family, because there's just a lack of fatherhood in America today. The average, in 1960, there were 6% of kids born without dads, 6% in 1960. Today, it's 37% are born without fathers.
Yeah, I wonder why.
Well, and we see all the social problems that we have because the fathers are absent now. So 37%. For those public school teachers out there, that's more than a third of kids are born without fathers. One of the phrases that I can't stand is baby mommy. Like, that's my baby's mommy. It's not my girlfriend. It's not my wife. It's not the person I've committed my life to. Oh, that's my baby's mommy.
Yeah.
And that's the relationship that they have. And that's a perfectly acceptable relationship nowadays in some communities. And it's just a tragedy. And kids are suffering for that.
It's the norm in some communities. Not just acceptable, but it's the norm.
And you wouldn't think that you'd read a story about furniture and you would see a lack of parenting, a lack of fatherhood. But there's a new study by the Center for Injury Research and Policy at the Nationwide Children's Hospital in Columbus, Ohio. And the study shows that there's a 40% increase in furniture tip-over incidents over the last 18 years.
Oh,
now,
my.
Now, what in the world does that have to do with parenting?
Who did the study?
The Center for Injury Research and Policy at the National Children's Hospital in Columbus, Ohio.
Oh, my.
But how does that relate to parenting? Well, you and I both know. Go ahead, Joe. Tell
I
me why.
I can
guess.
Let me guess.
Go ahead.
I can guess. The parents aren't watching the kids, or the kids are just totally undisciplined and jumping on the furniture, and the furniture falls over backwards.
Yeah, I don't think it's the manufacturers of furniture are somehow building less stable furniture. It's not a furniture problem. It's a child problem. So the parents aren't disciplining their children. And later on in this article that I pulled up, it talks about bolting bookshelves to the wall and keeping things out of the reach of children, things like that, as a remedy for solving that problem.
Did it say anything about disciplining children?
No, it did. I don't think it said anything about disciplining children. And you would think a while back in the past, there were more bookshelves. Today, there's just more TVs. In the past, there were more bookshelves, but kids weren't climbing on bookshelves and pulling the bookshelves down on them and hurting themselves. So It's a parenting issue. And you saw another case of poor parenting yesterday, didn't you? You went downtown and saw a whole horde of people that weren't properly parented. So why don't you tell us about that?
About 10 of us from Denver Bible Church and one from Redeemer Temple went to the Gay Pride Parade as an outreach to the homosexual community with the gospel.
Mm-hmm.
And as you can guess, we weren't well-loved.
So there were 10 of you. How many homosexuals and homosexual supporters and fans and people were down there in opposition to you?
Well, the paper today said 100,000. It seemed to us like 100 million because there's so many and they're all around you and they're all screaming and booing and upset that we're even there. And you know,
I thought they were tolerant and they believed in a multicultural, multi viewpoint sort of world. So wouldn't they embrace your diverse viewpoint?
Wishful thinking, Jason.
Of course they don't. And those are just tolerance and all of those are just code words for being politically correct, for being liberal, for being anti-God.
Well, and every time you see a homosexual representative being interviewed in the media, they want to be accepted as the norm, as wonderful people who are just like everyone else. And they want us to accept them. That's constant. You have to be tolerant. You have to accept us. We are the same. Yet, at the gay pride parade, they do things and you see things that are not acceptable anywhere. Mm-hmm. It is so, so vile. And then you see, I saw this t-shirt. It said, my wife thinks I'm at
Promise Keepers
convention. And he's holding hands with another man. And why? If they want to be accepted by us, do they taunt us and belittle the normal heterosexual relationships?
Well, and I know that shirt was meant to be offensive, but Joe, at least he was wearing a shirt. I mean, you got to be thankful for some small things.
Yeah, that's true. He was one of the least offensive people there, I have to say. Although there are some homosexuals that we've made contact with now for 13 years in Denver.
Mm-hmm.
And we have formed relationships with them. And the relationships aren't all that bad. With a couple out of hundreds of thousands.
Sure. Well, and you can't have a relationship with 100,000 people. It's just physically impossible. Even if that's your life, in the span of your life, you won't be friends with 100,000 people. You don't have the time. You don't have the resources to be friends with 100,000 people to have that relationship. But you go down there and you proclaim the gospel to them. You say that you are a sinner and you need a savior, just like I am a sinner and I need a savior. And so even if you don't have a relationship with 100,000 people, if you have a relationship with 5 people that you see on an ongoing basis or however many, the influence that you have there far outreaches that small sphere that you actually get to know and have that sort of ongoing relationship with.
Right. And there's one guy that makes sure he comes by every year and says hello. I'll call him Bob. This year also, and he noticed my feet were turning really red, and he sprayed them with sunscreen, which was nice. But he's a homosexual that's really into the lifestyle. So mm-hmm. we talk to him about Christ every year. This year I was talking to him. He said, Joe, invite me to your church, and I'll come. And I just happened to have one of those tracks that mm-hmm. have Bob Benyart Live on the back and the church and the times and all that, and I handed it to him. I said, are you going to come? And he said, yes. So if you're listening, Bob, I know you have the radio show. That invitation is a standing invitation for any time in the next year. I know you're not going to be in town the next few weeks, but really love to have you. Then there was another.
And the way that we're portrayed in the media is that we hate homosexuals, that we detest them, and that we want nothing to do with them. But you offered them an invitation to come to your church. And to a Christian, a church is a place where you can be rejuvenated, you can be encouraged. And to have a homosexual come into your church, that's counterintuitive to the way people think that we interact with homosexuals, that we despise them to the point where we don't want them anywhere near us, we don't care about them, we want them to burn in hell. And of course we don't. The Bible says that God is not willing that any should perish, whether they be murderers, whether they be thieves, whether they be rapists, whether they be homosexuals. We want all men and women to come to God. So it's great that you gave him that track, and hopefully he will follow through with that, and we can have a chance to talk to him and share the gospel with him.
Well, I certainly hope that we do. I hope he watches the show. I hope mm-hmm. he calls in at night, you know, during the TV show. I don't know if he will. No, there was another young woman that went up to Ken, and she said, you know, I've been coming to this parade every year since I was a little girl. And every year you've been here with the same message. She said, I know that you care about us, but I disagree. Because she's been brought up with the idea that homosexuality is normal and that it should be accepted by everyone, and that the people that don't accept it are ungrateful and hateful. But she sees the difference when we're there. She knows, she understands we're there to talk to them, to love them, to tell them about Christ. And she told Ken that, which was neat to hear, encouraging, so we know that we can continue to pray for her. And it was also encouraging to understand that there have been people coming to that parade. We've been doing this one in Denver for 13 years.
Mm-hmm.
And they've seen us every year, and they understand that there's people in the Christian world that care about them.
Yeah. And care enough about them to tell them that they're wrong and right. to not let them continue on in their sin. And deep down, whether they want to admit it or not, they know it's wrong. And that's why they have depression and alcoholism, drug abuse, those sorts of things, because they're trying to mask the pain. They're trying to get over the pain because they know that they're in rebellion against God. They're trying to escape whatever they're trying to escape, whether it's a poor relationship with their father or trying to find acceptance through perversion, those sorts of things. But they know it's wrong. And so for someone to be firm with them, for someone to say, this is wrong, you need to stop this, is actually a good thing for them, and they realize that.
Well, it's very confusing, I would think, for a young woman like her, mm-hmm. because in the parade, there's like 20 churches participating.
Yeah,
and they're telling them that homosexuality is okay. The media tells them that it is. Their school tells them that it is. In fact, there was one, Vantage Point High School, marched in the parade as a school.
Wow.
So what kind of message are we sending to the young people when we're everywhere they look, except for a few nuts on the street, are telling them it's okay and these people are crazy? Who are they going to believe? Us, we feel as though that we need to be there because the homosexual parade and their parties, the two-day ongoing thing, is one of the biggest recruitment days for kids.
Mm-hmm.
And we want someone has to be there to say, no, God says this is wrong and God's word doesn't return void. And we're not always gentle with everyone that deals with us during the parade. We have to be loud. Ken is loud and he can reach them and get them talking to him. There was one guy that claimed to be a Christian. In my mind, that was really questionable. But he said, don't you think you reach more by telling them that God loves them? Don't you think that they'd be more responsive to you if you didn't tell them that hell exists and that homosexuality is wrong? Can't you just love them?
And of course, the answer to that is no, because you had those 20 churches that are in the parade telling them over and over again, God loves you. That's it. There is no judgment day coming. There is no requirement for your sin to be paid. God will forgive all. And that's not the way God works. That's not the way he lays out the plan of salvation in the Bible. So you may make them feel good, but you're lying to them. You're selling them a lie. And if they believe the lie, they will be hurt. And so truth is hate to those who hate the truth. And they hate the truth that they need to have a savior, that they need to repent, that they need to live in the constraints that God gave them to live a happy life so they don't get diseases, they don't make a miserable life for themselves, that they can have a spouse that they can love and enjoy for the rest of their lives.
Right. Most of them were telling us God loves us just the way we are.
Sure.
Right? And he said, God doesn't love anyone just the way they are. Every single person, straight, homosexual, rapist, thief, we all have to repent.
Isn't that why we have to be born again?
Right. He said, he doesn't love me the way I was. Yeah. He's not going to love you the way you are. We're going to repent. He loves us enough to forgive us the moment we repent.
Sure. And he loves us enough to offer us that gift of salvation. But if we don't show love to God, if we snub our nose at God and say, I don't need you, and I live my whole life in rebellion against God, does that show that I love God and want to spend eternity with God? Of course not.
No.
And so God doesn't will not force you to go to heaven. And so if you don't want to go to heaven, if your whole life is an example to God, a statement that says, I do not want to spend eternity with you. I don't like you. I don't want you in my life. Get away from me. Fine. God will allow you to get away from him. And the place that he has selected to get away from God is called hell.
And that's where they're going to go if they don't wake up. Yeah. And this Christian that was confronting us and just would not, he was like a fly, would not go away. Yeah. You know, we'd be witnessing to someone and he'd say, wouldn't you respond better to them if they just told you that God loves you? And he was actually undermining the gospel. Sure. And undermining the truth. So we asked him to leave, but it didn't happen. And then we got to talk to him for about 20 minutes after the whole parade was over. And he still could not think straight because he's been inculcated with all these cliches, and he lives a cliched life for Christ, which means nothing.
Well, and he believes that God is love, and that's a nice image of God. But if you take that to the logical conclusion that God is only love, that he loves a committed servant of the Lord the same as he loves someone who despises the Lord and at every opportunity undermines the gospel and hurts people, then that God becomes perverse. And so they're trying to present this God who is loving, who is a compassionate God, but that God that they create for themselves is a God that is full of hate, because he doesn't separate those who love him from those who hurt other people. And so those who hurt other people will hurt the ones who are trying to love and serve the Lord.
That's true. One of the things I noticed this year is that the parade, the people participating in the parade, pretty much a lot of them are the same from every year. The floats are the same. And the age of the participants in the parade is getting older, and they didn't have as many young people, which was encouraging, because maybe some of them are noticing the truth. But the vulgarness of it was peaking. It was just so vulgar. I don't understand why a people group who want to be accepted would do such vile and vulgar things and then taunt the heterosexual people in their celebration of their people group. It's really of their sexuality, but they want they want you to look at them past their sexuality. But there's nothing to look at in that parade that's past it.
That's what they're wallowing in. If there were a parade of bankers, you wouldn't see that behavior from anyone. But their lifestyle is driven by sex. That's what it is.
It's not just sex. It's perverted. Yeah. It's just really unbearably perverted. And it's, when I say unbearably, I mean because we have to go to that parade for the outreach, to reach the kids. Mm-hmm. And it turns your stomach. God did give us a gag reflex for a reason. But it's to such a degree that there's nothing that we can relate with them on, because they are, like you said, they're wallowing in this filth and wanting us to accept it as normal. When if it was a heterosexual parade, you'd see moms and dads and, you know, who can have the prettiest baby carriage, and you know what I mean? It would never revolve around the sex that a man and a woman who cherish and love one another have. It would revolve around the family and the outgrowth of the family, the kids, and the good things that family means in society. This is just the opposite. Just the opposite. At the end of the parade, as the last float finishes and goes, there's two cop cars behind them, and they just kind of move the whole crowd down on Colfax Avenue to get everyone off the streets and headed towards wherever they're going next. And we have our signs, so then it's not just the parade going by us. It's all of the participants, all of the
revelers and supporters.
Everyone who've lined Colfax on both sides of the street, and we're in the middle of it. And I got separated and surrounded by unbelievable people. I mean, they wanted to, you know, when you see in old movies and stuff, a picture of hell where all the people are wallowing in their sin before, you know,
all
like
distorted
Sodom and
with their
Gomorrah.
Hands up and yeah. screeching and pain and misery.
More like, no, more like Sodom and Gomorrah because the flames aren't there. But it was just, in my mind, I couldn't believe what was going on. They were all around me and they were all doing vile things. And it was like five or six people deep, you know, couples deep, because they were all doing things that they shouldn't have been doing in public.
Or and, private.
And I said to them, why do you expect to be taken seriously when this is how you act in public? How can anyone take you seriously? Jesus can show you the way out. And of course, then they get mad and they start then they started screeching. And out of nowhere, this has never happened before, there were five cops surrounded me and pushed everybody away from me. That has never happened. And the cops were shaking.
Yeah.
I was, and I've had this happen so many times, you know, I was just so used to it. But the cops were like, get out! And they were pushing them all away and made them all move. Why do they have this urge to be filthy in front of us? Because we represent Jesus Christ, and they hate him.
Absolutely.
They hate him. They want to mock him and show the world that they don't need him. And it's so evident when you're there. And I was reading in the Denver Post today that one person said, you know, most of the time when something written is about us in the paper, it's about the flamboyant side. Well, if yesterday wasn't flamboyant, I don't know what it was.
Yeah, and I was looking at some of the photos that the Denver Post put online of the parade. And of course, they try to present it in the most positive way. There's no way in the world they try to degrade them or show the worst parts of the parade. And the initial photo is of a few people with their backs to the camera, walking away from the camera, and they have really long, straight balloons coming off of their back on sort of like this harness that looks sort of like a peacock sort of plumage going all over. And there are several pictures of that. But as you mentioned to me, if they turned around, they're in a like bustier, like a woman would wear with breasts and things like that.
The leader's name is like Toxic Dump or something. I forgot. It's not Toxic Dump, but it means the same. And on stilts in really loud colors, blonde wig, just unbelievable. These stupid looking makeup, the biggest breasts you've ever seen. It's a man.
Sure.
You know, and he's just gets right up in your face every year when he sees us. He's the same guy. They titled him a local well-known drag queen in the Denver Post. Imagine being known for that.
Yeah, that'll be on his tombstone.
Yeah, Toxic Dump. You know, it's not, so it was just.
Not beloved father and husband.
Well, let's hope he didn't
well-known
ruin
Denver
any kids'
drag
lives.
Queen. Yeah.
Yeah, and then he had all these guys in leather behind him with those things. And I noticed in the Denver Post that you don't even see the color of the balloons. It's sort of a shaded picture out of focus. So you don't really see what was really going on.
Mm-hmm.
And then men dressed in the most lewd way as women and as men. So I'm not sure what they're trying to tell us as families in Denver. One of the lines in the Denver Post was, I'm so glad Denver got to see how many of us there are. What does that mean? They're human. They want to be normal. So why do we need to know how many of them there are? They're not normal.
Yeah, why do they want to be distinct? Why do they want to be different? I thought it was just that's the way they were born. It's like a skin color. And so why do you want to create this line of
delineation?
Yeah.
Because they are different. And they want to, like, grab our kids and bring them into their lifestyle because most of them are not reproducing. I mean, I'm aware some of the lesbians have kids, and they were there.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, I was looking. This one woman, she had like a shaved head and tattoos everywhere, hardly any clothes on, tattooed everywhere on all the rolls. You know, very heavy woman, and this little baby girl in a stroller, and I was thinking, what is that girl going to think is pretty when she's older? She's going to have such a skewed vision of anything that's normal and pretty and
feminine,
and the things that God would present to us as beautiful, she's not going to recognize. She's going to look at that as foolish because she's not being brought up to see beauty. She's brought up to see perversion. And I felt so bad for her and her mother.
Yeah, absolutely. And when you lead someone astray, there are consequences. Not only are you hurting yourself, but when you involve someone else in your perversion, whether it be a sexual partner or a child that you're bringing up to hate God and in rebellion to God to say that there are no rules, you can do whatever you want. You know, how can you discipline a child like that? You can't, because the rules don't apply to me as a parent, because I can do whatever I want. Doesn't matter what God says, doesn't matter what the law says, those sorts of things. Why would a child listen to you and your authority? And that's when the furniture falls over and hurts the kid.
That's right.
So it's a terrible thing. And I was looking through more pictures online at the Denver Post online gallery. And one of the pictures that popped up, there was a very handsome gentleman in a red T-shirt with a sign that says, "Repent, judgment is coming." Do you know that guy?
I love that guy.
Oh, yeah. It was your husband.
I think I'm married to him. Yeah.
And he is standing there, and you see the parade coming towards him, and he's got his sign, and it's sort of hanging out into the parade route on the road, and you can see the sign plain as day. That's what the picture was taken for, was a "Repent, judgment is coming." There are people in the background, again, with those balloon plumages as peacocks, that sort of thing, and there is a guy wearing that and some hot pants and tennis shoes. That was it.
And the little leather harness. That was the back of Ken's sign. The front of the sign that they saw coming at him said, "God will not be mocked. Repent."
Yeah.
And they hate that. They hate us telling them that God will not be mocked. They tell us God loves. In fact, they carry signs that said God loves us just the way we are.
And so why do we need to present that message to them? They apparently are getting that message loud and clear, and they're still killing themselves by the millions. So maybe the Christian community should deliver a different message to them, a message of repentance, that you don't live the way you want to live. You live the way God would have you live. With a spouse, in a monogamous relationship, where you don't bring diseases home to your spouse, where you raise kids in the fear and admonition of the Lord. And again, it's one reason why fatherhood is so important. And I'm glad to be filling in for Bob today as he's out camping with one of his sons and teaching his son in a million different ways throughout this week that God is real, that there is truth out there, and see the beauty in nature. So I'm thrilled Bob can do that.
A real relationship between a father and a son.
And it's great. And we appreciate all the hard work that Bob does. And we appreciate that he can take time out and he can spend that with one of his sons and have a great relationship. We wish them the best. Thank you, Joe, for sitting in.
Oh, it's been a pleasure.
All right. Remember, everyone, remember to do right and risk the consequences.
Amen.